Value Market is Louisville's grocer. Since 1978, Value Market has been your neighborhood grocery store for all of life's best moments. Value Market gets it. Life is busy. That's why Value Market has curbside and delivery since 2013, freeing up more of your time for the more important things in life. Kids' ball games, family visits, work, tailgating, and cookouts. Value Market gets it. That's why Value Market has four area locations to serve your grocery needs. Mid-City Mall, Outer Loop Plaza, Iroquois Manor, and Mount Washington. At Value Market, you got savings in the bag. ValueMarket.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
If you've got the money, honey, I've got the time. We'll go honky-tonkin' and we'll have a time. We'll have more fun, baby, all the way down the line.
It's time for Inside Churchill Downs. Now, here are your hosts, Darren Rogers and Kevin Kirstein.
Happy Friday, everyone. Welcome to Inside Churchill Downs here on ESPN 680 105.7. Great Friday on Memorial Day weekend. Talking horses here to the top of the hour on ESPN Louisville. It's the usual cast. Kevin Kirstein, Darren Rogers.
KK, how are you?
Man, I'm great, Darren. How you doing?
I'm in mixed emotions.
Yeah, we got a big weekend for you.
It's a huge weekend for me. I want to apologize to all the listeners. You know, we couldn't have a show last week because of the PGA Tour being in town over at Valhalla, the championship, and we all love Seize the Gray.
Yeah,
I mean, that was
course.
Our best bet on the card.
Yeah, so, right.
You know, but this weekend's a mixed emotions for yours truly. My son Davis, he graduates tomorrow from Eastern High School. It is our only child, so it's a just a weird vibe in the Rogers household.
Yeah,
and then we have winding down baseball where they're playing in the uber tough seventh region of the baseball tournament that begins on Monday, and the Eastern's drawn at Manual. And 5 of the 8 teams in the 7th region are ranked in the top 15 in the state.
Wow.
So it's a bear. It's a sad time. So I'm enjoying some personal time, going to be headed to the graduation, going to go to the baseball game, and then looking forward to depositing my money on twinspires.com because we've got a great Saturday action. I love Memorial Day racing. And then especially the week after.
Yeah.
Stephen Foster preview day will be coming up after that the following weekend.
Yeah, so it's all happening.
It's a great time. It's a great time of the year.
Yeah, it's not even halfway through the spring meet. We brought Tony Kahlo here with us tonight to get us some winners for this weekend. Tony?
Good luck there, guys.
Come on.
Come on, Tony. You've got these winners in your back pocket.
Yeah. The confidence is at a little low, although my best bet's been doing well. That's what happens when you can continually give out 4 to 5 shots that look good.
Hey.
My last 6 best bets, 5 have won in 1 second.
Okay, that's
included
good.
Included an 8-1 on the morning line. I can't help it if they jumped on the bandwagon.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Short odds beat a long face.
Yeah.
Tony Kahlo, who is one of our newest racing analysts here at Churchill Downs. He's also the voice of Turfway Park and Ellis Park. Which
should I put on my announcer voice now?
Yeah, your announcer voice, right? I mean,
I heard you put yours on as soon as you came on. It was awesome.
Yeah,
I could hear it. Did you pick up on it?
First of all, I love. I got to tell the story. The first time I met Tony Kahlo had to be, gosh, Tony. When do you think this was back at
2002?
2002 at yeah. Lone Star Park. Michael Rona was the track announcer. He had a death in the family, and Tony came in to fill in on closing weekend. And, you know, I've known Tony's work for years. Like growing up in Southern California, exactly, yeah. He was up in, you know, Northern California at Bay Meadows. And, you know, Tony's just got that distinct, you know, great racetrack voice. Right? It's just, no, it just is.
Yeah, hey.
It's your voice.
Cigars and alcohol help.
And Tony walks in the room. Darren, nice to meet you. I'm sitting there going, man, he's calling the race right in the right in the meeting. This is great.
That might have been when I had no facial hair at the time, too. So Darren's
really?
Probably looking at me going like, this is not the guy.
You, no facial? Yeah.
Believe me, it's not pretty.
Well, Tony,
it's not pretty.
You didn't have the facial hair, and I didn't have the extra 100 pounds.
it's funny how times change, but
man.
We're still the same people inside, though.
That's right. It's the inside that counts, folks.
Oh man, fun times. And you had a memorable experience at Lone Star, right, that night?
Yeah, incredible. Yeah. I don't know what it is. I've been to Texas twice. I auditioned for the Sam Houston gig. I think that was the year Alphabet Soup won the Breeders' Cup Classic at Woodbine. So a torrential downpour that evening. And then here I come to Texas about 5 years later, whatever it was, and happens all over again. So
there's nothing like a Texas downpour.
Yeah. And now I've arrived here in Kentucky, and quite frankly, I am seeing a lot of rain. I am starting, you know, I went back to California to visit my sister in late 18, early 19, and they... Uh-huh. We're in the worst span of non-rain, and it rained more that winter than so. It must be something about
must be
me.
You.
The black cloud.
Wait till you see the Ellis Park rain showers,
because
they sneak up behind the grandstand there. You don't even see them coming. It'll be rumbling, just like it did Thursday. We got the extra couple 20 minutes here, 30 minutes here on Thursday night for the Lightning delay.
Yeah. And hey, we got the card in. That was
got
great.
The card in, and it was an eventful Lightning strike Thursday night. But
helps to have lights.
It helps to have lights.
Yeah.
Yeah. We could have ran for a little while here still at Churchill Downs. Let's talk a little bit about the Preakness to kick off this show. Speaking of Lightning striking for Wayne Lucas for seventh time now, winning the Preakness Stakes with Seize the Gray. And on our preview show that we had 2 weeks ago, and Darren alluded to it, we were all over the Seize the Gray. Not. I mean, Wayne can still train. Seize the Gray. That was a great ride by Jaime Torres to really stick it to the field. And really the question mark going into the race was who's going to go to the front end and will anyone be challenged on the front end? And you know, with the defection of Muth, that sort of, you know, changed the whole picture of the Preakness in the early stages of the race. And credit to Jaime Torres for taking it to the field.
Yeah, quite honestly, I thought Imagination would be the horse that would go straight to the front. And Frankie Dettori basically let Seize the Gray go, and he dictated the terms. And, I mean, just hats off to Wayne Lucas, another spectacular training job. The one thing I did, it was a deep dive on, you know, on Seize the Gray a little bit. You know, he's a son of Arrogate, and a little bit like, you know, his stablemate Just Steel, and a little bit like Fierceness, he kind of ran in and out of spots. Like he would run one good race and then throw in a clunker, and he was tough to figure out. And I kept looking at that breeding. You know, he's a son of Arrogate, and the name, you know, Smart Shopping. I'm like, I know this filly. Where do I know Smart Shopping? And Smart Shopping, you might recall, if you're an astute player of Churchill Downs, back in 2015, Smart Shopping won her debut on Stars of Tomorrow 2 for Brendan Walsh, and won convincingly by a length under Robbie Alvarado in the slop. In the slop. And wow. He had off going up there at Pimlico. And, you know, she didn't do much after that smart shopping, but she is very memorable now as the Dam of the Preakness winner, Seize the Gray. And, you know, look, he was in fine form, you know, winning the Pat Day Mile at 9-1, beating a very nice horse in Nash. I think Nash, that's what he probably wants to do, is run one turn.
Yeah.
But, you know, to wheel back in 2 weeks, and oh, by the way, credit to our track announcer, Travis Stone, for pointing out that the top three finishers, Seize the Gray, Mystic Dan, and Catching Freedom, all wheeled back on 2 weeks rest. So can we put the argument and the discussion of stretching out the Triple Crown to rest? Because it's not supposed to be easy. And by the way, the Preakness is not supposed to attract every horse that ran in the Derby.
Right. No.
It's just not.
No, that's not what the race is meant for, right? I mean, I get it, you know, maybe back in the day that was sort of what horses did. They didn't have the works between races and different training styles. And it's, you know, it's the middle jewel of racing's Triple Crown. Sometimes you're going to get a few horses from the Derby, sometimes you're not. Everyone in this day and age, I think, wants a participation trophy, right, Tony? It's like, that's why they want the Triple Crown extended. Everyone wants to, you know, be a Triple Crown winner. Well, guess what? It's hard to do.
It is difficult to do. How about back in the day, though, what, the $5 million, the Visa Challenge? Is that what it was? Where I wish we could implement something maybe again.
I don't know in this day and age of you know, safety and integrity of dangling out extra money as an incentive to run a horse that might not be in proper condition to run.
Sure.
I think that's why it wouldn't happen.
That maybe makes a good point, but I'm thinking maybe with the qualified vets and, you know, they're really on top of it. And
look, we had a good field. It was a good betting race.
Right.
It was a fun race, an interesting race to handicap. I, of course, was on the other Lucas horse, Just Steel, to be perfectly honest with you. Mystic Dan, I loved his chances, as did the rest of the general public, as he was sent off as the 2-1 favorite in here. I thought he ran a credible second place effort in there, you know, coming back on short rest. Definitely, I know that was a concern of Kenny McPeak, based off of his size and you know, spacing races earlier in his 3-year-old season. He wanted more time. So to come back in 2 weeks, I thought that was a very credible effort.
Yeah, it was very interesting early on in Mystic Dan's 3-year-old campaign, because it's not very like Kenny McPeak to miss dances. And this horse missed a dance and early on in the wintertime when he could have easily competed like Just Steel did at Oaklawn's, you know, series of racing for the road to the Kentucky Derby. And Kenny McPeak, you know, said no, he's just not ready yet. And, you know, that was probably a sharp decision by Kenny, because now he's saving some of that energy in the tank for the latter part of this Triple Crown series. He's up at Saratoga right now, and I wouldn't be surprised if he wheels back in the Belmont. At a mile and a quarter, he's already proven that, you know, he can win at a mile and a quarter. There's some question marks of horses in that race. Obviously, Sierra Leone will be the one to beat in the Belmont, I'm sure, for a lot of people. But Mystic Dan already beat him on the first Saturday in May. Why not again at Belmont at Saratoga?
If he could win that race, he would definitely vault to the top of the list. That's for sure.
Absolutely. The race for a champion 3-year-old is up for grabs.
Sure.
Really is. And it won't be determined until, you know, we run a few more of these
what
grade ones.
What if Sierra Leone wins the Belmont? Could he vault himself up to the top, you think, with, you know, his credentials?
Absolutely.
I would think so.
Absolutely. I think he would vault right to the top. He'd be the one to take down. And, you know, then, of course, you have races in the second half of the year, the Haskell, the Travers, the Pennsylvania Derby. Those are all a trio of grade one events. Speaking of grade ones, the third place finisher in the Preakness, Catching Freedom, we thought he probably wheeled back as an attempt to land the coveted grade one victory, which is so important from a breeding standpoint. The pace didn't really set up for him, and he managed to run another quality race running third.
Yeah, he just doesn't seem like he's, you know, quite to that echelon, right, Tony? He's like, he's close. He's close to some of these top horses. He's not quite there yet, and he's had the perfect trips in both the Derby and the Preakness.
Yeah, he's trained so beautifully since he arrived here at Churchill, and I was rooting for him. I wanted to, but the pace scenario up against it, interesting, you know, like you said, Frankie didn't send imagination as much. I wonder why, because, you know, Baffert's had so much success with horses on the front end in those races. Jeez.
Yeah.
Might not be Frankie's type of running style.
That's what I was going to say. Being a turf jockey, turf influence, you know, perhaps just trying to save as much as you can for later. I don't think he was good enough first off.
Sure.
You know.
But his best chance, I think, was to, you know, try and lead every step of the way.
You know what's funny? Before the Derby, Joe Christofek and Kevin Kilroy and myself, we ventured to D. Wayne's barn, and he wanted to get Seize the Gray into the Derby so bad. And
yeah,
he was telling us, he's like, gosh, I just wish I could get my other horse in. And two for two since that conversation.
Yeah, and Wayne was going to enter him on the AEs of the Derby and decided the last minute to enter the Pat Day Mile instead. And it all seemed to work out for Wayne, but
88 years old.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. I was speaking with Jay Privman, who, of course, the retired columnist for Daily Racing Form, great reporter over the years. And,
definitely.
He got off the phone with Wayne. He was just thinking back. When Wayne won his first Preakness in 1980 with Codex, he was 44 years old. And now he's twice that age. What was that number? Was that number 7?
Yeah, right.
For Wayne, in terms of Preakness wins, and it's just...
I remember Codex. You remember him, too.
I don't. Mean, that's actually a little bit before my time. I was 9.
Well, I was what? What year is 80? I was probably 11.
Okay.
But they were all upset because he roughed up the filly.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Yeah.
Genuine
risk. And they're like, oh, this isn't fair. You know, he roughed up the filly.
Oh, yeah.
The Derby champ. And
Angel Cordero, one of the typical Angel ride.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah. That was a good one.
Those are good days. I mean, not that it's not good days now, but I mean, those are some. I was very fortunate. You were too. We grew up in some great times for horse racing.
We did. I always like to say, you know, step back and soak in the moment, because one day you're going to look back at today and say those were the good old days.
Yeah.
So you never know.
Yeah, and there was a good good post on X from Breeders' Cup PR guy Jim Gluckson.
Jim Gluckson, I love this one.
So he said, Wayne Lucas has now won the Preakness during 5 U.S. presidential administrations. Jimmy Carter, Ronald Reagan, Bill Clinton 3 times, Obama, and Biden. That's pretty wild. To put it in perspective,
it is totally
44 years, and it's 5 presidential administrations for Wayne Lucas. And Wayne,
and he's looking forward to next year's, this year's crop of 2-year-olds.
I've heard that. He's got some good ones.
I remember in the fall.
When isn't he, though?
Yeah. In the fall, Wayne was telling me about how he's got this broodmare band with his wife, Lori, and he talked about downsizing the broodmare band just a little bit because he was doing the math of how old he would be when the horses come into his barn when he was 2, when they're 2-year-olds. And Wayne was like, I'm going to be 96. If I keep this one and do this, that, or the other. I'm like, Wayne, this is great.
Awesome.
Keep going. But Wayne, he does have a bunch of 2-year-olds that shipped into the barn. I know he's got a solid class that he picked out at the sales. But good for Wayne.
Yeah.
Good for racing. And Darren, you made a good point of, like, you know, how everyone says the good old days, looking back into racing. I think at this point of the year, there's some people that have talked about this 3-year-old crop and saying, this isn't a good 3-year-old crop. It is still too early in my mind to say this is good, bad, or indifferent of a 3-year-old crop.
Well, I mean, to bring it back to Wayne Lucas, he's the one who's always said you gotta give it 10 years before you bronze the horse, make a statue out of him. You know, with the great horses and different crops, you got to just sit back and let the races kind of unfold, and you'll know whether or not it was a decent crop or not. I think this is a fun crop right now.
Sure.
In fact, I mean, just taking a look at the Belmont Stakes, you know, a jump ahead, that race is what, coming up in 2 weeks. It'll be run up at Saratoga, and it's going to be a fun race. Just going in alphabetical order, Antiquarian for Todd Pletcher. He won the Peter Pan. Batten Down won on Derby Week here at Churchill Downs, going 1.25 miles for Bill Mott. And he, of course, won that race by open lengths. Training up at Saratoga, and Bill Mott's going to give him a good shot for this Son of Tappet out of Close Hatches, which makes him a foal to Tacitus and
your favorite horse.
A few others. Door Knock's going to get another shot again. again, the full brother to Mage. Fierceness, training up at Saratoga, had his first breeze yesterday. Honor Marie for Whit Beckman, going to give it another go.
Up pretty good.
Yeah. Mystic Dan, of course, is up there training. We'll wait and see. Sees the Grays committed for Wayne. Sierra Leone, probably the horse to beat in terms of favoritism. Mike Makers, the Wine Steward, who is a good second in the Peter Pan. The Belmont will be his third race off the layoff. Kenny McPeak is toying with the idea of maybe running Torpedo Anna. If not, she'll be tackling Just FYI in the Acorn. That would be a fun race. And then Chad Brown's other horse, Tuscan Gold, ran fourth in the Preakness. Wasn't that great, but that would be up in Chad's own backyard. They'll give it a look. He's not definite, but he's possible. So it's a really fun cast. Whether or not they're the world's greatest three-year-olds, that remains to be seen. But I think this is a very, very interesting group. Whenever you're putting them lined up against one another, because it's a nice blend of horses that have speed and horses that are more dependent on pace. Yeah. So it just makes it for some fun handicapping.
Yeah, it's going to be a good race on Belmont Stakes weekend at Saratoga. Just, if you haven't been clued in yet, remember the Belmont Stakes, because Belmont Park is under construction, being held at Saratoga Racecourse this year, not a mile and a half. They are carting the Belmont at a mile and a quarter at Saratoga, and it's going to be a four-day festival of racing at Saratoga, June 6th through the 9th. The Belmont, of course, on Saturday, June the 8th. At Saratoga.
Hey, just to put a cap on Seize the Gray, how about Jaime Torres? 2 years ago, watching races on TV,
yeah,
decides to become a jockey, and now he's a Preakness winner?
Unbelievable. I mean, and he's a great, great kid. I mean, he is a student of the game. I remember when Gary Stevens had his book last fall, and he would sit with Gary and watch some of Gary's Triple Crown races and ask him questions and be a student of the game. He's now represented by ex-jock Liz Morris and still being a student of the game, trying to learn every step of the way. And it's very cool. And Jaime's part of our riding colony here at Churchill Downs. And the riding colony is okay, Tony. Both the riding colony and the jockey colony sweeping the first two legs of the Preakness Stakes, all based here at Churchill Downs.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Speaking of our riding colony, Jose Ortiz, do you think he's happy he's made the move to Kentucky?
I mean, he was on fire last night, Tony.
He sure was three. And I believe, was it Ruby Day was his first day in Kentucky?
Yeah.
And he came in swinging. And speaking of Ruby Day, Seize the Gray was a Ruby participant.
Oh, yeah.
So I had to throw in that Turfway Park a little bit.
That is the third consecutive year we've had big horses.
Yeah.
Rich Strike, the runner-up, two fills.
Yeah.
And now you have Seize the Gray.
Wow.
Everyone's talking about, don't want to prep on the Tapita. Look right. What it produces. It doesn't matter what it produces or what surface it is. It's Tapita surface, a Turfway. Great timing. And, the Jeff Ruby Stakes will be a fun race again next year. Let's see who it can produce, but definitely has produced.
But this jockey colony, like Saez right there behind them, and you got Gaffa Leone and Jose at top.
And you got, jockeys like Joel Rosario, John Velasquez, Frankie Dettori. They're all sort of rotating, shipping in and out of town. Sure. They're represented by Ron Anderson, and they're sort of doing the rotation. And Joel Rosario is scheduled to be here this weekend. Johnny V. Next weekend, we're going to have Irad Ortiz here for Stephen Foster Preview Day. I mean, Kentucky is the place to be, and this Churchill Downs Spring Meet is off and running and some great racing up and down the calendar, which, of course, will all lead into Stephen Foster Day on the closing Saturday of the Spring Meet.
Well, speaking of that, anytime you have the big purses and the top jockeys and trainers, it brings some of the top horses. And we didn't have a show last week, but let's talk about some of the horses that we've seen and your thoughts on their performances that we got to see some comebacks. 2 weeks ago, you had a real nice performance with the comeback of Hit Show for Brad Cox, now a four-year-old. He hadn't been seen since running in last September's Oklahoma Derby, but he came back and won powerfully at even money in his comeback. KK, what did you think?
Yeah, it's definitely looks like a horse to try and get into the mix with this older horse division. And, we saw it at the end of last year in that Breeders' Cup Classic, sort of a muddied picture of, you know, who are the top older horses. A little bit muddied again this year. And I think he'll sort that out with his stablemate, First Mission, in the Stephen Foster later on in the spring meet. So you're having a lot of horses that are, you know, targeting the Stephen Foster. Will you know, which ones will run in the Stephen Foster, still yet to be determined, but a very good seasonal debut for Hitshow.
Yeah, he looked pretty good, and the horse he beat was pretty sharp, and he ran very well. That was an excellent return for him.
Yeah, that was Alexander Helios.
Yeah,
very nice. We had a horse ship in. This is an interesting move for John Sadler. Not long ago, or last week, with Anywho, the 4-year-old filly. She ran up the track in the Torrey Pines last September, obviously looking for a race to make a comeback. And John Sadler put her on the plane. Went off at 5-1 here at Churchill Downs, and was a runaway winner of a 6-furlong allowance race in the slop.
Yeah.
And
was fast too.
And was very fast. Yeah.
Yeah, very fast. She's going to be, I think, very dangerous.
Hopefully she comes back here. I had read that she might be facing off with Tamara on the West Coast, but it'd be cool if she'd come back here. What a splash she made. And that's what happens when you give $140,000 allowance races. We just saw it earlier today. Zeitlos, a 2-time stakes winner, opting for an allowance race for 100. You pick up 80 G's when you win that race. Like Kevin mentioned, you want to be here in Kentucky with those purses.
Another horse that made quite the impression, Champlin for Greg Foley. He's got another sprinter, KK.
It's another sprinter between Bango and, of course, we saw Obesos come back and win Derby Week. And, yeah, Champlin is very good. And, of course, Greg trained that great sprinter, Champ Ali, back in the day, too. So Champlin, son of Ransom the Moon, very powerful built gray horse, and I think we'll see him at the end of the meet come back for the Foley Barn.
I'll say this about that horse. He showed a dimension. His previous races, it looked like he was somewhat of a front-running type. He was able to sit a trip. If he can continue with those type of tactics moving forward, who knows where he goes?
Yeah, 4-year-old gelding, I would think Stakes Company is next. What'd you think of Disarm? Disarm hadn't been seen since running second to Arcangelo in the Travers last August. Had a comeback. It was handy. It wasn't the fastest race, was it?
That was my issue with Disarm. I'm a big fan of Disarm, but it was not fast in his comeback race. It was just he needs to start somewhere. I guess that's a good starting point. I would have liked to see it probably 10 points faster, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if
being a son of gun runner,
yeah,
we think of them as 4-year-olds possibly getting better as as they get older. And yeah, I would like to have seen it be a little bit faster of a race.
I'll say this though, guys, it was a small field. There was no pace. He did what he didn't want to do, which was go to the lead and put his nose in the ground. So I think the figure doesn't come up true to what he's really all about.
Yeah, it would be the eyeball test versus the speed figure. He earned an 83 Brisnet speed rating for that comeback win.
How about the maiden winner for Rudy Brissett, Green Light, that was on the turf and won by 10-plus lengths under Jose Ortiz. It's a hard-spun colt out of a Smart Strike mare.
And Brissett's having a great meet, 3-for-6 so far, and he's has a live shot tomorrow that we'll talk about and Sunday, or Monday, too, in the winning color. So Brissett's having a great meet and definitely was very solid at that horse winning by open lengths on the turf course.
And then finally, last week's stakes winner, Segoy, for trainer Mike Maker. This horse has made his rounds around the claim box, and in typical Mike Maker fashion, he claims a horse and is able to win a stakes race going a marathon on the grass.
You got to call him this winner at Turfway, Tony.
I did. You know, I always been saying never underestimate a sharp equine. He's been super sharp, and you look back in his form, he was thought highly of once upon a time. He ran in the American turf as a 3-year-old.
Yeah,
he had high expectations for him.
He was in the Tomlinson barn for a while and then got claimed around. Mike claimed him off Rick Hiles and said, I've been trying to claim this horse, tried to claim him at Turfway, got outshook, and then claimed him back at Keeneland, and saying that in mind, I wanted to claim him to stretch him out in a turf route and send him to the lead. He did exactly that, and at 19-1 paid dividends. I hope some of the fans out there bet. I didn't, but I hope someone did.
I gave out a long shot. I gave out the wrong one.
Yeah.
After watching the horse all winter. Yeah. Like, come on. Geez, what are you guys paying me for, right?
That was a masterful ride by Julian Leppard.
It really was.
That
you got to give him credit.
I mean, he's so good at rationing out horses' speed on the front end, both dirt and turf, and Julian did a great job.
You know, this game is so easy in hindsight because you sit there and you look at the Godolphin horse, and it wasn't a typical Godolphin where you see Group 2, Group 3 victories, Group 1 placings. He wasn't that type of Godolphin to be 3-5.
Yeah, bold act you're speaking of. And, yeah, it was almost like they're trying to send this horse over here to get some of that, you know, graded placing because they know he probably can't compete over there against some of Europe's better horses.
And then we see Appleby, we see Godolphin, and you're just like, oh, slam dunk, free space, but...
Yeah. And I watched that horse warm up on the screen. He could not have looked any better. And then he breaks slow and flows caught wide and wide on both turns. That was the end of the day for good old Bold Act last weekend in the Louisville Stakes. Yeah. What else we want to talk about, guys? You got anything else to recap, D?
Can I add one thing?
Yes.
Yeah,
horses we talked about. Hit Show, Disarm. First Mission, do you think he's the best out of that group? That
yes.
I kind of do also.
Yeah, I feel like that he is at this stage.
Yeah. And,
you know, he's on that right trajectory.
I would think he's, what, he'll show up next in the Stephen Foster, I would imagine.
You would have to think so, right?
Or will he show up in the preview day?
I don't think he's preview day bound. I think he's Foster bound with the spacing, which is tough because it's 8 weeks.
Yeah.
In the fall, and which is un-Brad-like. He's like the 6 week turnaround is what Brad Cox typically does for all of his horses. There are exceptions like Catching Freedom, but you're in that 8 week turnaround now for First Mission. And I'd be curious to see at the end of the year if this horse really wants to go the mile and a quarter distance. It'll be, you know, something to keep an eye on, I think, in my eyes.
Nice horse, that's for sure.
I'm a big fan of First Mission.
You know, he was going to probably be an odds-on favorite in the Preakness before he scratched last year.
I know.
You agree?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
And
I mean, his Lexington was pretty cool. And I was a Disarm fan. I loved Disarm after he ran second in the Louisiana Derby last year. Thought he was kind of against it, and Kings Barnes had a little bit better flow. And First Mission handled him pretty easily in the Lexington, that's for sure.
You have to keep an eye on the work tab tomorrow, see if First Mission returns to the work tab. Brad usually runs him back or works him back 2 weeks after the race. He has not worked back since the Ali Sheba on May the 3rd, but that doesn't mean to say because he's, you know, going off of 8 weeks to the Stephen Foster, you'd give him an extra week off of the work tab. So not completely abnormal, but hopefully we'll see him back on the work tab tomorrow. At Churchill Downs, where we have 11 races on tap tomorrow, Tony, and we brought you onto this show because Caitlin Free failed to give us the trifecta, the Preakness that
whoa,
she was.
Whoa, hold on, now you're gonna throw Caitlin under the bus.
I am gonna throw Caitlin under the bus because she gives out the tri in the Derby, and she came in with high expectations to give it out on inside Churchill Downs 2 weeks ago, didn't do so. So now, Tony, you're up to give the listeners some winners on Saturday's card. I mean, I'm broke. I can tell you that much. And so I need to
be following my selections.
No, I'm following. I was following Joe K.
Joe's heating up. He had a good Sunday, and he's off to a decent start this week.
Yeah, well, that's tomorrow is your day, Tony.
Right.
It is your day. No pressure. We only have three or four listeners here on Inside Churchill Downs that want to break out their pencils and keep an eye on their BrizNet Pass performances for Saturday's card. And I'll just reset the show real quick. And where you're listening, of course, if you're not paying attention to Inside Churchill Downs here on ESPN 680 105.7. We're talking now Saturday's card at Churchill Downs, 11 races on tap featuring the Kirtana Stakes as race number 10. Take a look at the late pick five sequence, which will start in race 7 tomorrow. A 5.5 furlong turf dash. The turf course, which we were off the turf on Thursday and Friday with some rain in the Louisville area, talked to track superintendent Jamie Richardson and was saying, you know, if we don't get any more rain on Friday's card, he said I'd expect all three turf races. There's a turf race in race 4, a mile maiden race. He would expect all three turf races to be on the turf tomorrow. So I'm thinking we're going to be on the turf as we haven't had any rain, more rain hit the Louisville area, and race 7 is a allowance race. Bunch of conditions in there, but one of the horses that fits the conditions for the optional $80,000 claiming tag is the 10-year-old Bound for Nowhere. This name,
Wesley Ward Special,
rings some bells, right? He's man, he's been around a long time, a son of the factor. He's only made 23 lifetime starts, but he's back as a 10-year-old in for that optional 80 tag. 3-1 on the morning line for this horse. Tony, you got any opinions on the seventh race to kick off this late pick five sequence?
Bound for Nowhere, pretty cool, huh, guys?
Yeah.
I'm looking at him. He had 2 starts in 20, 3 in 21, 3 in 22, 3 in 23. So the 10-year-old just, hey, you know, come out, make $150,000, $200,000 for their owners.
Why not? He's made, banked $1.2 million in his career.
I'll say this. I'm going to try to beat him. I will go against him. I thought Counter-Strike ran well in defeat to Outador. Outador is a very nice horse that won on opening night. One of my 3 races I got to call, which was probably the highlight of my horse racing career, getting to call some races at Churchill Downs. Pretty cool. I thought he ran well. That was a 5-furlong affair. What are we? We're 5.5 in this spot, so he's going to get just a little bit more real estate. We'll have to cover a little bit ground, but the 9-2 morning line's intriguing. The horse that I'm looking at is the 6, Clear the Air. He's a 4-year-old. I think he's coming into his own. I'm willing to forgive the effort on the 30th of March. I think that was a better race than it appears to be. That Bourbon Bash, I think, is going to be a decent horse. That's for Dwayne Lucas. He ran, I believe, on the Thurby card when Obesos won the race. And Bourbon Bash was coming out of a first allowance into a saltier. And he ran well. You toss out that race, he runs very good. I mean, the horse that beat him back on the 9th of February, talking about Clear the Air in tomorrow's race, Crosstown Shootout was a horse that had just won an open 12-5 and stepped up into an allowance race with the utmost confidence and just whistled. You toss out both those 2 races, and he's got 3 really nice races. That turf debut, at least the turf sprint debut, is solid. He doesn't necessarily need the lead, but he can be forwardly positioned. The horse he beat didn't come back and do much. I'm not going to hold it against Clear of the Year. An intriguing 5-1.
5-1, number 6, Clear the Air. Tony, got any thoughts on the horse that breaks to the inside of him, BD Valesky?
I know have thoughts, KK.
I've heard a little bit about this horse. I rolled into town, and the buzz is about this BD Valesky. I guess it must have been from that effort in September of 23 when the horse runs a big race.
Or it has the fact that Kevin's father owns a piece of the horse.
Yeah, and he's banked more than $200,000 after being a $1,700 Keeneland September yearling purchase.
Look at this.
Wow. Man, this race is tough for him. I don't know if I'll gamble on him. I probably will because I've bet him in every single start and I've lost money on him a lot. But yeah, he's in a tough spot tomorrow. It's a fun race. Race 7 kicks off the late pick 5 sequence.
Tony, I like the way you're thinking. Clear the Air, going to be forwardly placed. The rail's going to be out 12 feet. Anytime that rail is out, even just a tick, it seems to favor forward horses on the turf, especially those turf sprints. So Clear the Air under Jose Ortiz, who's red hot. I would take him.
Yeah, I like this horse. I think, and the 5-1's a nice price for us too.
Race 8 is a starter allowance race. Non-winners of 3 races that have started for a claiming tag of $30,000 or less. 3-1 on Mike Battaglia's morning line is Motorcade for Michael Ann Ewing. Tyler Gaffalione jumps aboard this one. Also have Supremely for the Foley team in here. Looks to have a big shot as well. But Gaffalione rode this horse last time. Ends up on Motorcade for Michael Ann Ewing.
I mean, Tony, isn't Motorcade the lone speed in here? I mean, he's going to dictate the terms. It's his race to lose.
It is. He goes 44-4, and he runs 6.5 and 17 1/5. He deserves the top billing, and I'm trying to look for somebody that we can go up against him, and I'm not really seeing it. He looks pretty good to me.
I know you guys are California homers, but I'm always a little bit dubious of horses coming from California right now to this Kentucky circuit. I feel like especially dirt horses. Now, and this horse exits ran fast.
And won.
Ran fast.
And
but
won.
At this level, you're a conditional $32,000 tag coming against, I think, some horses that have faced some much better competition, previously trained by Bob Hess. Just a little bit dubious of that.
I think that's fair. I'm looking at it. My main thing is the horse is going to be in front, and I don't see anybody that's going to challenge this horse.
Yeah. Lone speed going the 7/8 could be very dangerous. Race 9.
And this horse is probably going to be staying with us here in Kentucky.
Yeah, it's back here in Kentucky, it sounds like.
Who else do we have that could? What about the Arkansas bred? I mean, I look at him, and boy, it's hard to take an Arky bred, but he's a decent one.
He's
had some three good races, Landlord.
Man, I mean, for Ron Moquette and Everett and Rita Young, yeah, ran okay. And, you know, it's tough to drop a horse in for a tag. So now you're protected in the starter race, being an Arky bred. You don't get that KTDF money that's involved, but you're only, you know, down $8,000 on the $54,000 purse that you're running for. So a pretty logical spot for this Arky bred.
He'd maybe be my second pick.
Race 9 is a two other than allowance race, going 3/4 on the main track. A couple of decent horses in here. Silver Rose for the Cox team will probably take some action on that 4-1 line. You got Navy Bell for the Foley team. That horse has been okay so far in her career. Then you have She Called, who is the 7-2 Tepit morning line favorite for the Lee Blongs and Norm Cassie, off of second start victory in a maiden special weight contest last out at Oaklawn Park. And I remember there was a barbecue derby week at Norm's mom's house, and Norm was supposed to be there. Hall of Famer Todd Pletcher was there and was going to be at the childhood home of Norm Cassie. Norm had to go to Oaklawn to saddle this horse because he said she could be very talented, and she paid off dividends. He didn't get to play basketball with Todd Pletcher, but he got to saddle a winner. So She Called makes her Kentucky debut in race 9 tomorrow, Tony.
Nice race. You mentioned the three logicals. I'll give you two other horses to think about. 3 Harbor Springs. I think she ran into a pretty nice individual on the 3rd of May. I believe that was the race immediately after the Oaks. That's a Brad Cox trainee. She won very nicely. I like the third place finisher out of that affair, Tweetster. I'll mark her name down, fans. Put her in your stable mail. The race before that, she runs up against Denim and Pearls, who absolutely whistled that particular day. You see the race before that over a sealed sloppy racetrack. Now, that's the only knock. Maybe her best race is on a wet racetrack, but she easily trounces Plum Tricky, who exits that affair with back-to-back big-time efforts. This Harbor Springs, I find very intriguing. I think she fits nicely, and she's going to get overlooked by the other three. And I have a sentimental spot for the 6, Ready for Trouble. She was my best bet on the 9th of May. I think her last two races, she is really putting it all together. She is being wheeled back quick. She's in for the 100K, but boy, she is sharp right now. And she put in a nice charge last time, and she'll probably get a quicker flow to run into tomorrow.
The horse I'm going to take a chance on is the 2. Plum Tricky. Loved the race last time out. She will be facing winners for the first time, but was a nice winner at Keeneland, winning by 4 3/4 lengths. She stalked, she pounced, and ran away with it under Brian Hernandez Jr. for Dallas Stewart. She's going to, you know, she's 8-1 on the morning line. I think she's going to be every bit of that against this group.
Yeah.
I like the horses you've said, but at the same time, I think she's just going to be worth the gamble around 8-1.
Especially when she's been favored in her last two starts. And now she's going to be double the price of what she was last time, if not more.
Correct.
It's that's a good gamble if you liked her. And Tony, going back real quick to Harbor Springs, Almost Gone Rocket, who won that race last time. I think this horse could be a freak. I watched this horse work the other morning, and the first thing I texted Brad's assistant, I said, whoa, what was that? And this horse just went an easy half, and the rider's just standing up on Almost Gone Rocket. It's could be a good one. Good one.
She's looked impressive in those two career starts.
Yeah.
Remember the name Tweetster? I believe Norm Cassie.
Yeah, trains. Norm
She's
Cassie.
She's all right. It'd be interesting if she would have been in here, too. That's a cool race.
Yeah, very, very cool race. Race number 9 goes into the featured race, which is race number 10, the mile and a half turf marathon, the Kirtana, $250,000 in the purse for Kirtana. And Chop Chop returns in here for Brad Cox, who sort of found her way into her specialty, turf marathons. And she's been on the dirt, she's been on the tapeta, she's been back on the turf. And Tony, she made a good return to the turf last time out in the Bewitched when she won by 2.25 lengths that day under Axel Concepcion. And, you know, it's sort of a rematch of the Bewitched. The top four finishers in that race are back in here. A couple of new shooters, but really, if Chop Chop runs back to that Bewitched, I think this is her race to lose.
I would agree. I'm looking at her, and she is right now my best bet of the Saturday card, but there's still time to get into it. She has been ultra impressive since coming back to the races. It looked like perhaps maybe she was heading in the wrong direction there, considering, you know, the lofty aspirations they had for her as a two-year-old. Her three-year-old campaign maybe wasn't quite lived up to that, only winning one out of seven races. That race at Turfway on the 21st of December was incredible. Botanical is a Tapita monster. She was the favorite in the Latonia, didn't run her race.
Yeah.
You know, Chop Chop still ran well. Dana's Beauty that particular day got out to a lonely lead and got away with a 49-2. Chop Chop couldn't run her down. She's done nothing wrong of late. And until she does, I'm all over.
Yeah.
Ah, she's going to be the favorite. I'm going to look her right in the eye.
There we go.
Right, look at it.
I'm going to give a shot back to Vergara, who finished third last time out. Just from a class standpoint, you know, regularly competing against Group 3 company, this is a perfect spot for her for Grand Motion at the age of 5. Second race off the layoff, hoping she improves a bit off that last effort. She'll be the second choice and a clear second choice. But I'm going to look the favorite right in the eye.
That's interesting. It'll be, I mean, between her and Sand and Sea, I guess will be the two that could sort of vibe for that early lead. And interesting to see maybe if they could just take them a merry-go-round all the way around there, because they're not going to go ultra-fast, I would say, right?
Yeah.
They're
gonna probably... I'm with you. I think Sand and Sea is the one that's going to be going right to the front, and she's going to be the one to run down. Always dangerous under Ray Lou Gutierrez on the lead.
Yeah. Ray is riding well here in Kentucky, and yeah, he's been. I think he won. Did he win a race earlier this a two turn race? Just wheeling on the lead. I think he did. Just off the top of my mind, of Ray on the lead for Sand and Sea.
Won the Sunday nightcap. I remember that on the front end, and
I don't have as good memory.
I don't know what's going
on
with Ray, but he keeps calling myself and Kevin on the set.
Oh, he's calling you out.
He called me a couple weeks ago. He called us today, this morning.
He's
on
paying
the
attention.
Set.
He's paying attention. He's listening.
I'm calling him when he's in the paddock.
is he calling you out on you know what you had to say? He didn't like what you had to say?
He's actually physically making the phone call, trying to get us to answer while we're on
set.
Oh,
while you're on the end.
You need to answer next time.
Unfortunately, the first time, I didn't have my phone on. I didn't have it on silent mode, which I always do. The one time I didn't, because I get yelled at when I get home, how come your phone's on silent? It's because I'm an announcer. I don't need the phone
ringing.
See,
you guys are way too professional. See, if Ray called us right now,
yeah,
I would pick it up, I would answer, and I'd put it on speaker, and it would be part of the content on the air.
Yeah.
You know, I missed it the first time, and then today, obviously, both Kevin, we had it on silent, and looks at me. He's all, Ray Lou's blowing us up.
No, do a favor. Answer it on the air. That'll make the simulcast show,
unbelievable.
You know, more entertaining.
And then, you know what I can't wait to do? Ray, can you hang on? I got Jose Ortiz calling me.
Please hold.
Yeah, please hold for Jose. That's what next time, that'll spice up Churchill Downs today. Just answer the phone, especially if Joe's on there. Joe, I bet, would get he'd freak out. He'd be like, what are you doing answering the phone? Yeah, we're talking to Ray. He's trying to give us some insight here on...
It's so unprofessional.
Yeah. whatever. I was on BIC this morning, and Nick Zito walks right into the office. I wave him in. I said, guess what? You're coming on Steve BIC.
Awesome.
Pass the phone off, and Nick P. won a race today at Churchill, which was great to see him back in the winner's circle.
I think it must have something to do with me, because he won at Finger Lakes last year.
Oh, yeah. I remember when he shipped that horse up to the Finger.
That's right.
Yeah. Nicky Z.
The feed man was very happy today.
Yes, he was happy. Race 11 is the final race on the Saturday card, which is a maiden special weight for fillies and mares 3 and up, going 7/8 of a mile. And this race, to me, is just as wide open as can be. If I had to pick one, I'd think Monarch from the outside for Rick Dutrow. I think this horse maybe be able to improve a little bit, showed some speed last time out, gets a perfect draw on the outside going 7/8, but Tony, this is could be a dartboard race for a lot of people to close out the card.
Use as many as you can in this affair. I'm not going to lie to you. This race, I'm still kind of trying to evaluate. Looking at it kind of right now, I mean, where else could we go? What about the Indiana horse? Does that horse have any look at all? The Horseshoe Indiana? That's kind of a little... Darren, chime in. Help me out, brother.
The horse... Look, the horse I'm taking a long look at is the 10, just on the inside of Monarch, Queen Clancy for Donnie K. Von Hamel. Ships in from Oaklawn. We're going to turn back in distance now, go from a mile to seven furlongs. And last
foundation,
you know, I like the race two back going a mile to 16th in the slop, you know, broke alertly that day and kind of set the pace and was, you know, no match for the winner that day, Rose Parade. But, you know, coming back last time, Queen Clancy looked like she got just a little tired late. She was within striking distance, but just didn't have enough left punch in the, you know, in the drive. I think this turn back to seven furlongs is going to be right up her alley. Probably be right around the price of 9-2. I think that's a good gambling number against this group. It's the one that stood out to me among this competitive cast.
A homebred for the Dreamwalk and Farms, which of course was owned by the late Toby Keith, and now his family's part of the ownership group there of Dreamwalk and Farms for Queen Clancy, a four-year-old daughter of Jimmy Creed. Couple of firsters in this race, you know, the Queen of Paris coming in from Horseshoe Indianapolis, and then Come As You Are for Bill Mott, three-year-old daughter of City of Light. So there's maybe keep an eye on some of the double Will Pays. You also have She Is a Little Stinker for Wayne Catalano and the Tommytown Thoroughbreds.
Maybe about just Illusion. What do you guys think of that one a little bit? I like the race that comes out of it in the debut run and then drawing an inside post going seven, maybe a better post. Three-year-old filly, though, but
getting out of the gate was the concern for me last time. You know, was away a little slow. I want to be forward going 7/8.
Yeah, and especially with you know, just a questionable group in here. It's a fun card. 11 races on tap Saturday, and then of course we have Sunday. We'll have a 10 race card on Sunday, and then we'll back on Memorial Day Monday for a 9 race program featuring the winning colors, the grade three winning colors, and
clearly unhinged. I thought she looked excellent on her return trip.
Yeah, she really did. She's going to be dangerous in there. 4-1 on the line on her. I'm willing to take that price, right?
Can we get it right now?
I mean, maybe some places you can. I don't know the right places to get that price. But, yeah, she's back on Monday in the winning colors. A pretty intriguing race. Monday's card is great. Yeah, the first two races that are in for tags, and then you have all allowances and maidens to close the card, races 3-9. It's going to be a fun day of racing out here for Memorial Day.
And 9 is fine. 9 is fine. Yeah, that 8th race, which is the winning colors, $250,000 up for grabs. Really a fun race. BG Warrior is going to be showing some heat out of there. Miss Arlington
just ran today, so probably scratch.
Yep. City Spirit Wind, you know, going to be winging it. Unsung Melody. I mean, there's a lot of speed in here, a lot of horses that like to be forward. KK, as you said, Dazzling Blue, you know, for Brad Cox, probably the horse to beat. 5-2 on the morning line. Ran a hard luck second in the Roxolana.
And there's Zeitlos.
And Zeitlos on opening night. And that was, and we saw what Zeitlos came back and did today. Yeah. So, that's going to be, you know, it's going to be a really fun race, as it usually is year in and year out.
Yeah, it's Dubs' Military Appreciation Day here at Churchill Downs, where all military active and retired will get free general admission with a valid military ID. There's also a discounted dining option available. Check out churchilldowns.com for the latest ticket information for Monday's Memorial Day program. Also, the third biggest grilling holiday in the United States.
I learned that today.
Yeah. Behind Labor Day and 4th of July. You a griller, Tony?
Yeah, I like to grill.
Yeah? Got any specialties?
A little bit of
anything?
You know, I mean, my Finger Lakes salary the last 15 years, chicken thighs have been really popular.
Chicken thighs and Bush Light.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Gotta have a cold cocktail when you grill out on Memorial Day, right? Oh. That's... That's what I'm doing. I'm going to rush home after Memorial Day, and I will be having a cold one in front of my grill.
Well, I'll be watching baseball.
Yeah.
Sweating profusely, hoping the Eastern Eagles can defend their seventh region title against the first round. Man, what a first round draw at Manual.
Is there a spread on that game?
There's not. Look, you'd have to ask your local. I'm sure there will be.
Yeah.
Look, the seventh region's a doozy. All the first round games are at home. If you won your district, Ballard beat Eastern 9-4 last Tuesday to snap a kind of run that Eastern's on, and so we're the two seed, and so we've got to go to Manual, which will be at Spalding College. Mm-hmm. What is it? Derby City Park, I think it is, mm-hmm. where the game is played. But you win that game, and anybody that wins the first game, then the fun begins, because the semifinals and the finals are at U of L's Jim Patterson Stadium. And it was so much fun last year when Eastern was able to knock off, the private powerhouse number one in the state, St. X, a year ago. Trinity is the beast this year. They look really, really tough. And the winner of the Eastern Manual game will have to face Trinity in the next round. So that'll be my Memorial Day, as you guys grill, and I'll probably have some hot dogs out of the ballpark.
Yeah, gotta have a good hot dog on Memorial Day. If you're gambling on the Churchill card Sunday and you tune in to the Indy 500, got a steamer for you.
FanDuel, sports betting app.
Right, take out your FanDuel. Here's your motor racing winners of the weekend, according to KK. Joseph Newgarden in the Indy 500. Kyle Larson's the storyline, Tony. I don't know if you knew about this. Larson's going to run the double, or attempt to, the Indy 500 at Indianapolis Motor Speedway, take a flight down the Charlotte Motor Speedway to run in the Coca-Cola 600 that night for the NASCAR race. And so he's going to try and complete the double. He's a rookie, of course, in the Indy Series, Kyle Larson is, and he qualified in the top six. So he starts on the front two rows.
You motorhead, you.
I am a motorhead.
Horsepower of a different kind.
I'm fading him, though. Fade him. I don't think he's ready.
Faded motorcade.
Yeah, faded motorcade. I'm fading Kyle Larson. He's the storyline. I'm fading him in both races. And then I'm going back with William Byron in the Coca-Cola 600. So that's my Sunday, gambling here. At the. Wow. We had a couple minutes to fill on the show. I had to give a couple of winners, right?
I love it.
Yeah. Fun show. Thanks for hanging out with us, Tony.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, you're on the rotation of the experts here on Inside Churchill Downs, but you're welcome to join any week. Maybe one week we'll be at Double Dogs again.
Yeah,
and
I'd like to have that there again.
Yeah. Have a couple of cocktails. That was a fun derby preview.
It was fun.
Yeah, it was fun.
Always is.
If you're coming out to the track again, first post Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, 12:45 p.m. Eastern time. You can check out all the information on churchilldowns.com, and then we'll have a four-day racing week next week. But starting in June, we're going to be back to five-day-a-week racing starting on Wednesdays. Go Wednesdays through Sundays. You've got the Twilight Thursday, Downs After Dark on Saturday, June the 15th. Lots of action to be had at the Churchill Downs Spring Meet. Be sure to check out all the information on churchilldowns.com. Darren, best of luck graduation. Hold it together.
Congratulations, Davis Rogers.
Yes, well done. Pops, for graduation and the baseball game on Monday. We'll talk next Friday on Inside Churchill Downs. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you out at the track.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.